I'm going to bring a crutch for this. Turn over to Psalm 119. I want to look in verse 105. We're going to look at several different places tonight. God allows us to. Psalm 119, verse 105. Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for tonight. We thank you, Father, for another opportunity to be able to come to this place and gather in your name. And Father, we do pray that you'll be among us tonight through the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you'd just keep the fiery darts of Satan far from this place tonight. And Lord, we do continue to pray for Kevin. We hear the great things that's going on out there at that revival. And we know, Lord, that we can't be there physically, but we can be there in spirit. And we're there with him, Father. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd just continue to be there. We know that, or we've heard that there's a lot of folks being saved out there, but we know that there is a lot more that needs to be saved. We pray, Lord, that you'd touch those hearts out there tonight. We pray, Lord, that you'd just be with those folks. As Kevin preaches, I pray, Lord, that they'd be receptive to his word and your word. I pray, Father, that you'd just draw them to you. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to be with Kevin, give him safe travel as he's there and safe passage as he starts back home here in the future. And Lord, we also pray for those little children tonight that we've heard that are sick. We know, Father, sometimes they can't articulate what it is that's wrong. And we know, Father, that they're hurting. And we pray, Father, that as they maybe go to the doctor or the hospital or wherever, we just pray, Lord, that you'd touch the doctors and the nurses, that they'd be able to see exactly what is wrong with those little children and be able to help them. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd get the glory for it. We pray all these things tonight in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I have to say this to you, church. Of course, I know I keep saying this, but it's true. I pastored a church for several years, mostly the one down in Hickson. And Wednesday night was always the hardest sermon for me to preach. Because on Wednesday nights, it's usually the core of your church that's there. And I sometimes feel like the folks that's there mostly probably know more about God's word than I do. So Wednesday night's always hard for me to preach. And tonight, as I ran across this right here again and refreshed my mind, it's just I just want to do a kind of a Bible study with you tonight. And to start with right there, it's a good place to start. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I know most of you have heard that. Most of you know that. And what God is trying to tell us right there, that he is light to us. We were born in darkness. The devil rules the darkness of this world. And if we're not careful, even as Christians, we'll get pulled back down into darkness. And darkness is definitely not a good place to be. As a matter of fact, I jotted down a few verses. If you just want to listen, over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "But if thine eyes be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness." Darkness. Matthew 22 and verse 13 says, "Cast him into outer darkness." Matthew 25 and 30 says, "And cast you the unprofitable servant, I'll get it in a minute, cast you the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That don't sound like a very pleasant place to me. Romans 13 and 12 says, "Cast off the works of darkness." Ephesians 5 and 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." So God warns us about the darkness of this world in several places, because you get to stumbling around in darkness and it's really not very good for you. As a matter of fact, I got to tell you a story on me. Every time I read this verse, I think about it. Of course, a lot of you don't know me real well, but one of my favorite hobbies is hunting. I'll hunt anything that walks, crawls, flies. It don't matter to me. But my favorite hunting to do is elk hunting. Now, Brother Gene, I'd rather elk hunt is to eat, and you can tell I like to eat. I used to go to Colorado a lot, elk hunting. We would go out right up on the northern end of Colorado, up into the Route National Forest, and we'd take our caravan up through there. We'd have a truck and a big trailer behind us with tents and four-wheelers and coolers and you name it. And we'd go up. It's about 3 miles or 3 hours up a dirt road outside of Steamboat Springs, Colorado, up next to the Wyoming border. We'd drive up that old dirt road. We'd pitch those tents. Then we'd get those four-wheelers out, and we'd drive 4 miles back up into the Route National Forest. And then we had to walk a mile down a foot trail in Oliver Creek. I can tell you, if I was out in Colorado elk hunting right now, Gary, I could tell you exactly the rock I would be sitting on when it got daylight on opening morning. I love that place. Oliver Creek is a big canyon, beautiful creek in the bottom. On the right side as you walk in, it's about probably 600-800 feet up to the top up there, and it's got aspen and scrub oak and sagebrush up on the right side down through there, and up on the left side, it's got some aspen, but mostly black timber up on the left side. Those elk had come down. It was right on the borderline of some private property. It was 65,000 acres over there that the actor Tom Selleck owned, and they let guys come in there to hunt. Well, we would get in there about an hour before daylight and get set up. Those guys, they'd come in on horses coming across towards us after daylight. They'd run all the elk over there. So we had a pretty good place to hunt. But I remember we'd go in there before daylight, and if you shined a flashlight, those elk that were up here feeding on the right would see your light, and they'd run off. So I'd always try to walk in there without a light. And it was about a mile down in there, and walking this little foot trail, and the light of the moon, the trail would be just a little bit lighter than everything else, and you could kind of make it out, but it was still dark. And I remember one year we were out there, and we were seeing a lot of bear sign. We saw a bear too, saw a lot of bear sign. So I'm walking in there one morning, and maybe far from here to the pastor's office, I could see a big black glob in the trail. And so I stopped. Well, it didn't take me but a minute to figure out that thing was moving. And the first thing I thought was, bear. Now, I'm standing out in the middle of the Rocky Mountains by myself. You don't hear nothing. It's dead silent in the dark. And I'm thinking there's a bear standing right out there. Well, I just stood there for a minute to see what was going to happen, and I noticed it seemed like it was getting a little closer. Well, it might have come 20 or 30 feet closer, and I thought, if that thing comes any closer, I'm going to turn my light on. And if it comes towards me, I'm going to have to shoot. So I got up enough nerve that I turned my light on. And Scott, that was the biggest porcupine I ever saw in my life. Big old porcupine. Now that's what happens when you go through life, down the paths of life, in the dark, in the darkness of this world. Things that should not have any effect on you, should not cause you to have any fear, should not cause you to be afraid, it causes you to have fear and be afraid because you don't have the light. You don't have God. You don't have God's word. You don't have the light to guide you through this world. I mean, there I was, I had the light in my hand, Scott. Could have been using it all the time. But because I chose to go bumbling and fumbling around down in the dark, tripping around in the creek, fumbling around, thinking a little old porcupine about that tall was some kind of 500-pound grizzly bear. When we listen to the devil and we fumble around this world with our lives in the dark, that's what he does to us. He convinces us that the things that will not harm us will harm us. He convinces us that the things of this world that are maybe an issue, a small issue, are big, huge things that should not be affecting us. And I got to be honest with you, church. Every time I read that verse, I think about that little story. Of course, that story's funny now. It wasn't too funny then at the time. It's pretty funny now. But God tells us that his word is the light that we need to be after. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and thy word is a light unto my path. Folks, if we will cling to God's word, if we'll hold on to God's word, if we'll study God's word, if we'll meditate on God's word, he will lead us through this world, and the things that the devil wants to try to throw out in front of us and make some kind of great big issue out of it, God will lead us right through it. The Bible says that God will give us a peace that passes all human understanding. Whether you're getting laid off from your job, whether you've just lost a loved one, whether there's things going on in your life that you absolutely can't understand and can't control, God will still give you a peace that you can get through those issues. God can give us a peace. But we have to understand his word. We have to understand what it is that he wants for us. So, if we are saved, we are called out of that darkness. We're called out of it. The Bible tells us over in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." God has called us out of that darkness. But sometimes, even as Christians, sometimes we'll get to drifting away from God. The farther away, it's just like any kind of light. The farther away you get from a light, the darker it's going to get. And the farther we drift away from God, the darker it's going to get in our lives. Now, you can take that to the bank. I can promise you that. Because in my 66 years, I have stumbled a time or two and got away from God. And I can promise you, you're going to get into darkness quick. So my advice is, don't do that. Don't stumble away from God. God will shine us a light in this dark world. But we need to continue to read, study, meditate on God's word. See what God's word has to tell us. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119 in verse 130, it says, "The entrance of thy words gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple." Folks, you don't have to be some kind of brain surgeon or some kind of theologian to understand God's word. God has made his word to where it can be understood by anybody, the simple. God has given us a living document right here. I have read and studied this book and read and studied this book and read and studied this book. But still, there's times I sit down and read that, and God will show me something else that I never saw before. I've heard Brother Kevin stand here behind his pulpit and say, "God just showed me something new today." That's why they call this a living word. That's why it's so important for all Christians, for all of us, to read this word. 2 Peter 1, verse 19 says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines into a dark place." We would do good to take heed of God's word. Do good to take heed. Folks, it is not a smart thing to do. It is not a wise thing to do, even as a Christian, to come to church on Sunday or Wednesday and take this blessed book home and lay it on the shelf and think that I got enough. That's not good enough. I will promise you, and this is self-experience again, you lay this book up on the shelf, you will dry up on the vine. I promise you. This book is so important to a Christian. So important that we continue to read and study God's word. God tells us that we're to be a light unto a lost and dying world. And it kind of continues on what I was talking about on Sunday. I really feel like that as Christians, we're falling behind. I say myself also, we're falling behind on telling people about Jesus Christ. There's always a way that we can tell people about Jesus Christ. Another little quick story. I was going to Adairsville, Georgia last week. I was going to go down there. There was a fellow had a cow and a calf for sale, and I was going to go there and buy it. So I called them, don't know these people, called them, got the answer machine. Answer machine came on, lady's voice, said, "This is the so-and-sos, and we're not able to take your call right now, but if you'll leave a message, I'll call you back. But I also got a question for you. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And if you don't, after I call you back, if you want to talk about that, we'll talk about that too." I thought, what a unique message to leave on an answering service. I mean, this lady, and Debbie went with me. She went in there and talked to her. I talked to her husband more while we were getting that cow and calf. And Debbie said, that woman is the sweetest Christian lady. But to witness to somebody over an answering machine. Now, folks, that is getting after it right there. That is doing it. That is getting the job done. Putting a witness on your answering machine. Who would have thought of my answering machine says, this is 423-309-3191. Leave a message. That lady put a whole sermon on her answering machine. Folks, if we try, there is a way that we can witness to the lost. There's a way to do it. God has given us that opportunity. He gives us that opportunity every day. I promise, if you will pray every day, God put somebody in my path that I can witness to. Now, that's something else. Maybe when Kevin goes to his next revival, remind me, that's something else we'll talk about. I know a lot of Christians. I think the biggest thing that I have heard over all the years that I pastored church, people would tell me when I would say something like that about witness to somebody, I guess I had more people say, "Brother Ed, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say." Maybe that's a message that we'll study. But of course, usually my quickest answer is, how did you get saved? Can you not tell them what happened to you? If you got saved that way, they're supposed to be able to be saved. It's through Jesus Christ. Can you not tell them what happened to you? It's pretty simple. Folks, Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Once we accept Jesus Christ, we follow him, we are supposed to be in light. We're not supposed to be out there fumbling around in the dark like those that are lost. We need to have something that the lost and dying world don't have. We need to show them that there's a way through this world, no matter if the world is falling apart. I know I kind of got into a little conversation that Brother Gene and Johnny back there was having and before church, talking about this thing that's going on over in Israel with the Palestinians. Now we've got some of the, you know, God plainly tells us in the Old Testament, I will bless them that bless Israel and I will curse them that curse Israel. So the United States has always been an ally of Israel, thank God. But just today, I have heard so many discouraging things. Of course, I saw a streamer on the bottom of one of the news things that said the Black Lives Matter people are now supporting Palestinians. Then I saw another one that said AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, whatever her name is. She's also supporting the Palestinians. That other Muslim Congress lady is supporting the Palestinians. President Biden made a call to Netanyahu today to ask him to stop the war, ceasefire. It looks like we're starting to lean away from Israel. Now, keep in mind, Israel didn't start this fight. The Palestinians started launching missiles over there that came from Iran, by the way. So Israel's just defending themselves, but the United States is even starting to pull away from Israel. Bad mistake. What did God say? I will bless them that bless Israel, and I will curse them that curse Israel. A lot of stuff going on that's concerning. But God, through his light in our lives, can give us a peace that passes, because we know what's going to happen. Over in the book of Luke, and right now I can't think of the chapter and the verse. Maybe I'll get it here in a minute. This old head is... But Jesus is telling all of his disciples the things that's going to happen in the last days. And I mean, it's terrible. And you could just put yourself there. You could just see the disciples just shaking in their boots or sandals or whatever they were wearing. And Jesus says, I get God bumps on me every time I think about it. Jesus said, when you see all these things start to happen, start, that's a very important word. Jesus said, when you see all these things start to happen, whoo, you look up because your redemption draweth nigh. That'll put a spring in your step, Gene. Look up because your redemption draweth nigh. Man, we know what the end is going to be. We should have a peace that passes all human understanding. But we got to stay in God's Word. We got to continue to stay full of God's Word. We got to stay up close to God's Holy Spirit, or we're going to be out there fretting just like they are, just like I was over a little old porcupine that I thought was some 500-pound bear that was fixing to eat me alive because I was in the dark when I should have been in the light. Folks, we should stay in God's light. We should stay in God's Word. We should continue to follow after God's Word. God's Word is important to us Christians. I'm going to read just a couple of more verses, and then I'm going to let you folks go home. I know you probably had a hard day. Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's Word is not only a good instruction for us, but God's Word will also convict us. It goes all the way to the core. That's what it's saying right there. A two-edged sword goes all the way to the core, goes down to the very center of our being. That's God's Word. One last thing I'm going to read back over from Hebrews back up to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. This is another 3:16 verse. John 3:16, 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Folks, we don't know how to be righteous because our righteousness is like filthy rags. But God's word gives us the instruction we need to live a righteous life. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, it is God-breathed. The scripture is God-breathed, and it is alive. We need to understand that. It is profitable for a doctrine, for a reproof, for correction, and for instruction. We need to read God's word. We need to study God's word. As a matter of fact, right across the page there in 2 Timothy, I said that's the last verse. I stood right here behind the pulpit and lied because I'm going to read one more. Sorry, Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Do we have a WANA class here at this church? Anybody that's involved with a WANA ought to know this verse by heart. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. And you say, well, brother, what's that got to do with a WANA? Well, that's where their motto or their, what do they call that when you use letters to shorten something? Acronym? I think I told y'all Sunday I went Soddy Daisy, right? Awana, approved workmen are not ashamed. That's what Awana stands for. Approved workmen are not ashamed. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Folks, if you'll study God's word, you'll never have to worry about being ashamed of God because you will have the answer because he will give it to us. He will give us what we need. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's all I have tonight, folks, and hopefully it was something for you to give you a little something extra to do if you feel led to do that. Over in Psalm 119 where we were, it talks a lot about God's word. I mean a lot. This week, if you're just looking for something to study, something to look at, go through Psalm 119 and mark how many times God's word says something about God's word. It is so many times that I color code things in my Bible. You can probably see it all the way from where you see all the green. Every verse in the green talks about God's word. And I color coded it. And up here at the top, I marked a little green spot and it says equals God's word. So I don't know that you might not mark your Bible like I do mine, but just go through there and look at how many times it talks about God's word. Verse 11, for instance, says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And there's verse after verse after verse after verse in 119 that talks about God's word and what it means to us as Christians and followers of Jesus Christ, how important it is. It'll keep you out of the dark, and you won't let a little old porcupine scare you. It'll keep you up where you need to be. Scott, you got anything else? Anybody got any announcements or anything else we need to do before we leave? Oh, bless his heart.
They've amputated his leg, trying to save the knee because it's easier for a prosthetic.
Exactly.
This kid's amazing. I mean, 5 minutes sitting down talking to him. me. You know,
yes.
It's heartbreaking. Mom and Dad have COVID. They haven't even been able to get near the hospital.
Wow.
So